I'm a LeBron fan, so okay. Now I am a Cavs fan. Okay. Yes.
Hello. Welcome to This is a Podcast. I'm Michael LaRue, and that was my friend Prentice Ashford, who I interviewed a while ago, and I'm finally posting my interview with him. I'm excited to say this is one that I love. Prentice is a guy that I got to meet, you know, unexpectedly in the middle of some grad school stuff, but he's become a good friend. Actually, Bailey and I got our pug from his mother-in-law, which is a fun fact, something that happened after this interview was recorded, so there's no way that we would have talked about that in this interview. But we spent some time talking about family, and you know, I was in a phase where I liked asking people about what's it like to have kids, or do you look forward to having kids, anything like that. I know I've asked John Hunt and Grant about that in interviews before, but asked Prentice what it's like to have his baby boy Griffin, and actually him and his wife are recent parents of their second child, so that's great. But we talk a little bit about that, a little bit about doubt, and one thing Prentice references a couple of times is making your own normal, and we apply that to a few things in our lives. So it's a great episode. I'm glad to be able to be posting it, and I hope you enjoy it. Some exciting news to come up in the next few episodes, so keep a lookout. I'll be posting more soon.
Imagine yourself sounding like...
Oh, definitely. No, that's... Isn't that a thing because you, like, you hear yourself through your jawbone?
I have never heard that before.
Doesn't that have to do with that?
Through your jawbone.
Or it might just be distance from your mouth to your ears.
I just sound a whole lot cooler in my head than what I sound like outside.
Yeah. Well, my voice is deeper.
Yes, absolutely.
Inside.
Very Barry White-esque.
Than outside. Mm-hmm. White-esque?
Barry White-esque. Mm. That's how I
thought you were being racist.
No. Yeah. You sound very white.
Oh, no.
I started. We're recording now.
Okay.
Man, I don't even know where to start. Mm-hmm. Prentice, new friend. Probably quickest from meeting to being on my podcast.
Yeah.
Well, no, that might not be true, actually. Because the guy I had on last week was pretty quick. But we met at grad school.
Yep.
Doing the fun stuff.
Yes, very, very fun.
Went from... That was an awkward week.
Yeah. It started off awkward.
Exactly.
Until that Thursday.
Because you get there the first 2 days, you're with a bunch of people you don't know. I felt like I was the only one under 25.
Yeah.
In the room.
Yeah.
And it's not like we were introduced. We just kind of just started talking one day.
Yeah, just jump in and go.
Come to find out, we're doing almost the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're the same age.
Yeah.
Both recently married.
That's right.
All that good stuff. But welcome.
Thank you.
I don't even know where to start with you, Prentice. I actually want to start. We're eating on microphone.
Yeah.
With family stuff, because I met you right before I was about to get married.
Uh-huh.
I guess we met in June.
Yeah.
Right? Was that when the residency was?
June, the week before my birthday, I think.
Okay.
Either week before or week after.
Well, it was 2 weeks before my wedding,
mm-hmm.
and you had already been married like a year.
Yeah.
And had a kid.
Yeah.
So
a lot accomplished in 1 year.
Yeah, you moved pretty quick.
Yeah.
When did you get married?
July 28th, 2012. So, not even a year, but...
Were you still in school?
Wait, no, we were married a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got married our senior year of college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, first, what was that like? And then second, you're 24.
Mm-hmm. 23.
You're 23 still?
Just turned, yeah.
Oh, I just turned
23 this June.
No, really? I mean, you're older than you?
Yeah, oh my guess gosh. So.
Okay.
I guess so.
Well, I just turned 24.
Okay.
And I just got married, and so you just turned 23, and you have a kid.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you're probably in the minority.
Yeah.
Kids don't have.
I'm in the minority far as kids.
Right.
If we're talking married at 23, I'm in the majority at ACU.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's it like being so young
mm-hmm.
compared to what most people would say, I guess, and already having a kid,
yeah,
already having a wife, now having a job that's like
8 to 5. You're the man now.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
It's definitely, to me, it's normal. You know, me and my wife are very different people as far as our mindsets. We know the direction we want to go. We can, I say, kind of see the direction God has us going.
Yeah.
Because we constantly figure that out day by day. But we both are in agreement in the direction we want to go and take our family. So being young, being married, that's just, we call it phase one of the master plan.
Sure.
So we dated in high school. So
Abilene High,
both born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we got married, we had been together for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so to us,
that's not that weird. That's pretty long, actually.
Yeah. And so to us, we knew each other. We knew, hey, we're not going to break up. We're not going to do anything else. So let's just get married and go ahead and start young.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we want to have a shoe full of kids,
yeah.
I'll say. And so in order for us to accomplish that goal of having the number of kids we want, then we definitely had to start young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, this is one thing I like talking about. Are you ever worried about, or I don't want to use scared because I don't think that's the word I want to go for, but just how does doubt play a role in that relationship? Because with me, I never felt 100% with Bailey. And I think that's like a definition thing. Some people say like, well, if you're getting married, you're 100% sure.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, well, there's a part of me, maybe this isn't what needs to happen, or not what needs to happen, but I can never be totally sure in myself. Even though y'all dated for 4 years and like, obviously you're compatible. We've talked about that a little bit, how like y'all don't go to sleep angry. You've figured out a system to where you don't grow apart from each other.
Yeah.
Do you ever think to yourself, like, I wonder if, not I didn't make the right choice, but just like, what would have happened if we hadn't gotten married or anything? Does that play a role in your life at all?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, any person that tells you they don't doubt would be lying.
Yeah.
But as far as, I think situational, that doubt plays in, but overall, no. I would just say that, I don't know, we're just different.
Yeah.
We're just different people. And so, I think the doubt in my mind isn't relational.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, is our relationship going to last or did I make the right choice? I firmly believe.
Yeah.
I look around, not comparing anything, but I look around. I'm like, man, I definitely made the right choice.
Sure.
You know, I have a wife who, you know, supports me in what I do. When I was younger, you know, I wrote your typical list of what you want in a mate and all this. She doesn't check off every box because every box would be, you would never find that.
Right.
But the essentials, what I boil it down to, she definitely checks those off. So when I say I found my ideal mate, definitely have that. So I think my doubt goes into, man, am I doing enough for our family? That's where my doubt comes in. And
it's more like a self-centered doubt of,
am I adequate enough to, and then you throw a baby in the mix, that's even more.
Were y'all planning to have a kid?
Yeah. So we said, it was weird because we said, whenever I start, originally it was whenever I'm done with school. So grad school, PhD, whatever, we'll start having kids. And then once we got closer and closer to marriage, our wedding day, our baby date got less and less and less.
Got closer.
Yeah, it got closer and closer and closer. And so we once we got married, we just said, let's just graduate college.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just whatever from there. And then literally the day after. It just worked out to where not even a month after graduation, we were pregnant.
Yeah.
So it was planned. I don't know if it's planned. It wasn't unexpected.
Sure.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Talk about having a kid. I mean, I think I've had a few people on that are, actually, I guess most of my guests have been parents.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to get somebody to light up when you start talking about their kids. But, I mean, I'm not there yet. I don't know when I'll be there. But what is it like? I mean, how do you feel having a little boy running around that's yours?
Yeah. I say I got lucky, you know. I stepped up to the plate, and I hit a home run with having a son. First try. It's definitely, when I say humbling experience, that doesn't do it justice. I said if there's anyone who does not believe in God or a higher power, go through that birthing process, go through that the whole pregnancy, you know, getting up, seeing your wife in that pain and not understanding how could something, you know, we so beautiful put her through so much pain. You know, that was tough seeing her in that much pain, but it's amazing once that baby is here, man, it's like as if all that pain, you don't even remember it. It was so amazing just once he was here. Man, it was like, man, this world is, we're responsible for teaching this kid whatever we want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's two-sided, that's a double-edged sword there. It's the responsibility of, we can really mold him into, to believe whatever we want. If we want to tell him the sky is green and purple, we can teach him that and he'll believe that, you know. But at the same time, it's so much responsibility on us, you know, to understand that. When Griffin is my age, everything he knows or everything that he is taught will have started with us.
Yeah.
Or it falls back on us because that's who people look at. And so just having that child, it made me just want to just go out and, you know, grind that much harder. And,
yeah.
You know, make sure that a family's taken care of. Because
definitely.
What I, you know, how I grew up, it wasn't bad, but I want Griffin to live, of course, a better life than what I had. And then my wife, the same way.
I think your son gets the coolest name ever award. Griffin Ashford is a pretty, well, so is Prentice Ashford, but Griffin Ashford's a pretty great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that you brought up, you get to mold your child. When I started taking sociology classes in college, I think that's when I started enjoying education a lot more, because it kind of opened me up to the new concept of, yeah, you're your own person, but really you're the person that your parents brought you up to be, or you're your own person based off of the context you were raised up in. And I never thought of the depth of that, because I had a professor teaching us, like, think about some other perspectives and think about other people that grew up across the world. Life's not the same for them, and it would have been if they were born here. And you never, like, you realize it to an extent, but I think I had just taken advantage of that, or taken it, not taken advantage, taken for granted that fact. So I just like that you brought that up, because you realize the weight of it as soon as you're actually looking at a kid.
I mean, it's the second.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness, what in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of felt that, a different level of this, but the night that Bailey and I got engaged, we were at her parents' house because we had had a bunch of people over to celebrate and all that good stuff. Everybody left, and then her mom started talking about, like, all right, well, it's time to find a venue. And it kind of went from, this is really exciting, to, oh my gosh, we have so much crap to get in order.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're getting married.
Yeah.
And it's been, since then, it was just like instantaneous. This is it.
This is it.
This is the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's been weird is on the other end of it, since we've been married, we've both been kind of shocked at how little we feel has changed. Like it's not like we changed. Yeah. We just live together now.
Absolutely.
And that was kind of a different shock, the opposite effect.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in you create your own. I call it creating your own normal.
Yeah.
You know, we heard these horror stories of, man, the first year is going to be terrible, or look out for this, look out for that. Me and Trisha made that concerted effort to say, hey, we're creating whatever you want our relationship to be.
Yeah.
So not to say our first year was, you know, roses and, you know, everything, but it definitely was. Yeah, especially with the kid.
Yeah.
But it definitely, we didn't have those knockout arguments, knockout, you know, where I was mad at you, you were mad at me. We had our disagreements, but it was not anything to the level of, I think it would have, it's not, it wasn't to the level that I think it could have been had we listened to those people. We definitely took some points away from different people and some suggestions that they said, but at the end of the day, we sat down and said, what do we want to hold on to? What do we want to, you know, throw out?
Yeah.
So I think that sounds like with your relationship as well, it's, that's what it is. It's, you're creating your own normal.
Yeah.
You know, and just doing you and not worrying about the horror stories and all
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
I like that. Well, I want to ask, and I know where some of this is going to go, but I don't think I really know. What do you do for fun?
Yeah.
We've only talked about either Hardin Simmons, ACU, higher education, or grad school when we've been together, and wives and stuff. But what is your idea of, like, the most fun you could have? Or I know you like basketball, but, like, what else is there that you just enjoy doing?
Man, my fun is when my schedule is nothing's on it. Like, my fun is getting up Saturday morning and saying, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
But
do you get to have those a lot?
Not a lot. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely.
I'm taking a picture of you, but you can just pretend like I'm not.
Definitely. Used to. I took it for granted in college.
Yeah.
Where just had those free days. But now my fun is more, I like to build wood.
Definitely.
And stuff.
That's, I thought it was going to go there a little bit. Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Sometimes it can get sort of to a chore just because I have a lot of orders to fill or whatever. But whenever I can just go outside and try to build something new or, you know, work with something, try to tinker a concept, that's fun for me.
What was the, I want to, we have to talk about it now that it came up, and I was hoping it would, but it's so cool how easy it was almost for you to just, like, build something for fun. Yeah. You taught yourself how to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And then now you're filling orders.
Yeah.
Consistently making a good amount of money on just, like, a hobby.
Yeah. So it started with Trisha wanted, when she got her, when she was working her old job, she was trying to get furniture for her office.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to buy this little coffee table. I said, man, let me just make that.
I'll make
you
that.
You know, I don't. And so we got some old
I'll
pallets.
Provide for you.
Yeah. I'm doing my husbandly duties of providing for you. And so I said, well, let me get some pallets and cut them down, sand them, paint them. And it turned out great. So I posted that to Facebook and somebody wanted one. And then it just led one thing to another. And the way I work is I say, if you have the idea, I can build it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't ever turn down a job. I always say it's either say yes and then say no rather than say no and then wish you would have said yes.
Right.
So I like to see if I can at least do it. But that's how it turned out. And so I was doing those little coffee tables.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me to make a headboard, did that. That's what I really like to make, are those headboards.
Yeah.
And then somebody posted those laundry basket holders and said, hey, can anybody make those? And I said, oh, absolutely, I can make those. And that's what's really taken off there.
Yeah.
And so now it's just a matter of I can create time to make that versus me having to do this, you know, to make money. Now I can just, if I don't want to work 1 week, I'll just cut it off and not do
sure.
it.
Sure.
And know that I can pick it back up. But yeah, so that's how that hobby got started. And like I said, it's fun, but sometimes it can feel like a chore. But when I'm just creating and trying to create my own designs, that's when it's a lot of fun.
Have you gotten to make a lot of original stuff?
Yeah. So right now I'm in talks with a lady about making a table, like a farmhouse table, which is pretty
cool.
Like
one of the huge ones?
Yeah. So like your dinner tables.
Right.
Making that. And also I'm really just sticking with those laundry basket holders, giving the people what they want.
They're working.
You know, they're working. So, and then with school, it gives me something consistent to where, you know, I don't have a lot of creative time to spend. I just need to have a product that I can, you know, distribute and know that it's going to work and sell. The summer times and breaks, that's when I can really start working on my own stuff. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
I know you like basketball.
Oh, yeah. LeBron James.
LeBron.
Yes.
Here we go. Another fun piece.
It'll be the finals.
And then baseball?
I am a baseball fan.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'll watch the beginning of the season, but these dog days, you know, now I'm starting to pick it back up because we're getting into the pennant races and whatnot, and then playoffs all the way through. Watch it all the way through. But
cool.
It's just such a long season. I have time
you
to take off and then pick right back up.
Okay, well then this is what I'm going to ask you since we're coming back to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know your top six. We'll do something random.
Okay.
Top six favorite players.
In the league right now, currently?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that can be injured or not.
Yeah.
If you want Paul George up there.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of Paul George.
You do need to rank them. They have to be
rank
one
them.
To six.
Yes. Number one, LeBron James.
Sure, of course.
I mean, that's – if I could have him one through five, I would definitely do that.
Okay.
You know, let me just go with my point guard.
Okay.
My point guard.
Yeah, you want to just build your team?
Yeah, let's just build a team. Let's build a team.
Drop it down to five. No, you've got a six man. You've got a six man.
Let's go, and yeah, I can have a bench player. Point guard.
So is LeBron a four or a three?
I'm gonna go with him at a three.
Okay.
Let's go with him at three.
For those of you that don't know, that means that he would be playing a small forward. Yes, not small that he's forward. The third ranked player.
Yeah, small forward. So my point guard, you know, actually, oh man, I think I would have to go with Chris Paul.
Okay.
Just because I know he doesn't have the track record as far as winning. But I think you put him with a guy.
Put him on the right team, though.
Exactly. Yeah. And he just knows how to command the floor. Mm-hmm. He understands that, you know, scoring is not his first option. He's a facilitator. Right. And that's why, like, he just knows his role and he plays it. Well, but when he needs to score, he can.
You talk about crazy playoff series. The Clippers-Oklahoma series this year was nuts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so my two guard,
mm-hmm.
man, my two guard – I was talking about this the other day with someone about James Harden.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to put him at two. Let's come back to two.
Okay, we'll come back to two.
My four?
Four.
Okay, I may have to switch LeBron to my four.
Put him at four?
Put KD at three.
Okay, we can do that.
Let him be my three. And my center would definitely have to be Dwight Howard.
Okay.
I just think... Again, you get him in the right system where he can just be himself, and he's not a player that deals with pressure very well, clearly.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be the guy, but I just think you get him in the right zone, he's just so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And
a bunch of my friends would totally disagree with you.
Okay.
But
I know he's a prima donna.
Yes. Yeah. As long as you recognize that, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you need a two and you need a sixth man, and that can be whatever you want the sixth man to be.
Two guard, if I had to get anybody coming off my bench. Well, let's go to two guard.
Okay.
I would pick. Oh, man, that is so tough. You know, I would have to pick. Let me go with Steph Curry.
Okay.
Just because we have a shooter, spread that floor there. Yeah, that would be dangerous because Steph Curry, all he'd have to do is just stay in 3-point land,
slightly
just
open.
Be open.
Yeah,
just be open and you're good. And coming off my bench, I think I would have, man, a healthy Derrick Rose.
Yeah,
he's just so dynamic, but I just don't think.
You worried about his injuries?
Yeah, worried about that. Let me go with. Man, let me go with. Can I go with James Harden in OKC?
You can go. You can go.
I don't want Houston James Harden. OKC.
We're
James
gonna
Harden,
specify
where he was the sixth man of the year, and he knew this was his role to come off the bench.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Okay.
Right now he's too into himself.
Do you think he's buckling under pressure?
No, not pressure, but
he's gotten too cocky, maybe?
I just think he's gotten too cocky. I don't think he's buckling because he's doing spectacular. It's just he's too much into himself right now.
When he was spitting about, it's okay, we lost Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
He's not a cornerstone of the team.
Exactly. I'm like, James, just go back to what got you here.
Yeah.
Just be that guy with the beard, you know.
Chandler's being you.
Yes.
From a year ago.
Exactly right. Yeah. So do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a solid squad. You can go so many different ways.
That's a solid squad. Yeah. That's a U.S. team.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yes. And if LeBron, KD, Steph Curry, if y'all ever hear this.
Props.
Yes. One, thank you for tuning in. And how did you get to hear this?
It's
great. Two.
Retweet.
And two, just assemble a team. For these last Olympics, I know y'all are all getting old, and hopefully, I know y'all sat out for the Worlds here, but hopefully y'all can all get it together, and let's just dominate one more time.
We've got some good up-and-coming players, though, too. I mean,
Kyrie's still
pretty young.
This FIBA, the World Cup team right now, is all the young players look good.
Damian Lillard.
Dame Lillard, man.
Love Lillard.
Even, yeah, he didn't even make the team, though.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's just so many good players. Yeah, yeah. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. You have Anthony Davis.
Yes.
He'll
get really solid.
In a couple of years, I'd put him
on
my list.
He's bulked up a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Who else? Well, Wiggins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
RIP to the Cavs, but okay, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
A bird in the hand.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Well, fun. Okay. You like watching basketball? Do you like watching anything else? Do you like watch TV or movies at all?
I'm a TV show guy.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not really. Movies, I'll watch them, but I'm a TV show guy. Like, tonight is our Finding Carter. Tuesday night's Finding Carter.
What is Finding Carter?
Oh, man. This is a good show.
Here we go.
On MTV.
Uh-oh.
It's about a girl who got kidnapped as a child.
Okay.
And so the first episode, she gets arrested. And while she's in jail, the police come to her and say, "We can't let you go home." And she's like, "Why?" And they said, "You were kidnapped when you were 3 years old. And the person you've been living with was your abductor."
Oh my gosh.
And so now they send her back to her real family. And so her real family is elated that they found their lost child. But she's battling, "You're not my family.
I was raised by
mom."
This other guy.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of back and forth. A lot of the mom still, she's on the loose from the FBI. And she's still trying to see it. So it's a lot of back and forth of getting adjusted to new life, wanting to go back to the old. And good show.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a.
Doesn't sound like an MTV show.
I know. And it doesn't feel like it should be on ABC.
Yeah.
It's a really good show, though.
Yeah. What else is on you and Trisha's list?
No reality TV.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's Dancing with the Stars. We do that. X Factor. But we do. We do a lot. ABC Family is in our hearts because we start off Secret Life of the American Teenager when we first got together. Corny show, whatever. We love it.
That's great.
The Fosters, Scandal.
I've heard Scandal
is our show.
Good.
You haven't seen Scandal?
I have not watched any Scandal, but I have heard it's good.
It's great. Yeah. It is great. We do Scandal, any Shonda Rhimes production, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. Just recently found out she wrote or produced or one of those film things, Crossroads. You remember Crossroads way back in the day? Was Britney Spears?
Yeah. Okay, I do.
Britney Spears, Shonda Rhimes did that. So the creator of Scandal was – Crossroads wasn't the best movie, but she's coming.
I didn't realize that Grey's Anatomy –
Yeah,
that she Shonda was Rhimes. A Grey's Anatomy person.
So Shonda's starting this fall lineup. It's Shonda Rhimes at 7, 8, 9 o'clock on ABC primetime. Three shows.
She's blowing up.
She is. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. We do that. And then Netflix, of course. But we haven't been on Netflix as much as we should have. American Horror Story.
I've heard it's
good. My show.
Really?
Definitely. It is.
I didn't pick you as like a intense,
that's about
scary
as,
guy.
Yeah. I can't. I watched that during the winter break and I was at the house by myself. And I had all the lights on, windows open, everything. It was a little creepy. But once you get past it,
would have been a bad time for me to knock on your window.
Yeah, no. You would have heard me scream. Yeah, definitely. That's a good show, though.
Yeah.
And critically acclaimed, too.
That's one that, like, changes per season, right?
Yeah. So they use the same characters but different story. And it's confusing for the first couple episodes trying to get used to the new names. But, yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Fun.
And then, of course, your classics is Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Love Big Bang Theory. We do that. Modern Family.
Modern Family's
great.
Love
Modern Family. Yeah. So, yeah, those two, I think, staples for anyone, almost.
There's one I was going to ask you about, and I lost it. Too bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're gonna go back to serious time.
Yeah.
Because I wrote down a couple things you said, like, right at the top. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to dive into them a little bit.
Yeah.
So you talked about God's path / direction.
Yeah.
I guess the first question, do you label yourself as any kind of believer? Like, do you call yourself like Methodist, Church of Christ, or anything like
Church
that?
Church of Christ. Born and raised Church of Christ, church as well. We attend the Oldham Lane Church of Christ.
Yeah.
Currently, we've been members there for about 2 years. Oh, I'd say a year and a half.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Good.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not huge, but that's a pretty big church, isn't
it? Yeah, so it's the perfect size for us. So Sunday mornings, we have anywhere between 400. It averaged about 450.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a good size, but they do a great job of the small groups, utilizing those. And so we're real close with the, you know, like 30 to 40 people who are in our small group.
That you meet with.
Young adults, and it's really great. We love it. Yeah.
Cool. Well, then that'll be kind of a lens for the rest of this, which is great.
Yeah.
You mentioned I brought up family, and you were talking about how you and Trisha are identifying the path, like God's path for your life, God's direction.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what, I guess just be as generic as you can. What do you mean by that? And then how do you try to do that? How do you kind of depict what God's path is?
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Yeah. So I guess our definition, we believe, and this goes back to why we were married so young.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that our relationship, God did not bring us together to be single married for the length of time that we were.
Sure.
Or, you know, we're both real big on hospitality.
Yeah.
Real big on having people in our house. Real big on if somebody needs, there'll be several times students on campus are just sick of, you know, bean food or whatever, and we're like, hey, just come to our house.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything prepared, but you can come just eat come with over. Us. Just come over and eat dinner with us or whatever. And so that's our definition of, I guess, God's path for us. We know that we are called to impact the lives of others, and we look for any opportunity we can to do that.
Yeah.
And so that goes back to the woodworking piece.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. Yeah. I think it's awesome what you do there.
Yeah, and that definitely helps. We just wanted to find a way that we can create some sort of income for when we do have people over our house. We have a fund that we can go to buy the food or whatever we need to help, even help kids, you know, buy books here and there or whatever. Yeah. So
what's the don't you have like a certain amount of it that you set aside that's just to give to students?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
So we do about 65%.
Yeah.
And we just cut that right off the top. So if somebody gives us $100, if I sell a headboard for $100, just say we take $65 and put that into savings, and it just sits there until we need it.
Yeah.
And so about 65%, and then the other 45 or 35 goes to just operational costs.
Sure.
And, you know, we like to have a little fun with the additional income as well. But so that's our direction, or definition of sort of God's plan for us. And that plays into why we're having children. Trisha grew up. She's one of nine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And her families were.
Are you?
I'm just one of three. Mm-hmm. Older sister, younger sister. And so her family they did foster care. Trisha is one of six who were adopted.
Wow.
And so her family is real big on opening up and being open. Her parents were the ones where CPS would call them in the middle of the night, say, hey, we need a home for this kid tonight. Can we bring him over?
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah. They were the Texas Parents of the Year.
Oh my gosh.
Some in the 90s. One year in the 90s.
That's awesome.
I didn't even know you can be awarded that.
Win parent like, of the year.
You're the parent of the year. But that that definitely influenced me and my family as well.
Mm-hmm.
Trish and I are two different cultures, but you know, my family is real big on family.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times in middle school, high school, friends would be out, but we'd be at home, really focusing on family. Really, we just loved being with each other. It was never a chore to get family time or family night.
Yeah.
And so we really like to take that, but within our just three-person family right now, we like to include as many people
awesome.
As we can. And so it definitely takes some time, or it takes time for us to step back and say, hey, it just needs to be all three right now. But as much as we can, we like to include or help other people out as much as we can. So that's the direction that God wants us to go, and I think that's why we got married so young, because we're like, man, we want to be able to do this for as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And if we start now, great opportunity.
What's your, and this is something that I think is so different for some people and can be pretty consistent too, but what's the method, or I guess how do you know you're really confident about, like, this is the direction, we know this is what we're good at, we know this is what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
How did you figure that out?
I don't know if there was a defining moment.
Yeah.
I think it was just a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Like, we'd go this direction and figure out, hey, we're not necessarily, this isn't necessarily our route to go, and then we tried this area until we just finally got places in certain situations to be able to to really flourish in that area.
And then so, you just kind of feel,
yeah,
this is right. This is right. What,
and what
our own normal will be.
Exactly. And yeah. I'm a firm believer in, if God wants you to change directions, he'll show you.
Sure.
And so we just ride the train until God tells us to get off or change directions or whatever. And so we both believe in that strongly. And so whatever God puts in front of us, we'll do it. And we'll go 110% until he tells us to go another route. Definitely.
Very cool. Well, this is a good time then to... I like to ask everybody, and it kind of just comes up when it comes up, what your definition of purpose is. Mm-hmm. And you've kind of already spoken to it a little bit, but you could redefine it if you need to. Yeah. And I like to leave it open-ended. For some people, I say, like, some people want to define it as, I know what my purpose is.
Yeah.
Some people want to say, I think that we as human beings have this purpose.
Yeah.
But what do you, when you think about like why you're here and what you do, why you're hospitable, why you care about community so much, you know, what's the reason behind it? What's the underlying purpose?
Yeah. So I guess I'll just give my thoughts on the general definition of purpose. Mm-hmm. I would say purpose is – I think purpose involves using the gifts and abilities God has given you to their maximum potential. And whatever direction those gifts and talents take you, those gifts, talents, and abilities take you, that's your purpose. So – for me, God has given me God has given me the gift of discernment in people. I say I can read somebody's spirit, their aura, real. Definitely. I can pick up on that. It's not judgmental. It's just I can get a feel for you real quick.
Right.
And so that helps me develop relationships. I feel a little quicker, and helps me because I like to get deep fast, you know. And so I think that helps me develop that,
and I think that's why like we hit it off so quick. Is because I feel kind of the same way. Like I see things in people that other people might not, or I get a better sense of how real or fake somebody might be before other people do. So it was really easy for us to be like, hey, this is what I do and who I am. It's like, great, let's go to lunch.
And then I think, and definitely, so I have that, and then just, I guess, I'll say the business side of things. Like, I feel I'm comfortable in front of a crowd. I'm organized, or I try to be as organized as I can. So those different things, you pull those gifts and talents all together, and I think I'm using those to fulfill God's purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know what's my actual purpose, but I know that it involves using those gifts, talents, and abilities.
Sure.
And those, when you use those and intentionally put those into some direction, I think that's just going to take you towards your purpose. So I don't know if that's a definition of purpose or how do you arrive to purpose.
But it's your perspective on it.
Yeah.
I think that's really what I'm wanting to see. And you, if that's what you go by, that's exactly what you're doing with woodworking. That's exactly what you're doing when you have people over to your house. Like,
it's all feeding into the purpose.
Do you feel like you're able to tap into gifts and abilities through your job now, your new position?
100%.
Yeah.
That's why when this opportunity came up, I knew I had to jump on it because it gave me that freedom to reach different populations. Even as small as ACU is, I was limited to who I was working with. Now I have the ability to reach so many more students. And so this definitely opens those doors for more conversations with them, more getting to know their stories and you know, just becoming friends and mentors and you know, lifelong friends with students. And really just watching them grow and develop and being able to help them along that process. So I definitely think it feeds right into this purpose piece. And not just for me, but for my wife, you know, this opportunity, she gets to stay at home.
Yeah.
Which is great for us because the lifestyle that we want to live, I feel like I could call her right now and said, hey, 20 minutes, got a group of students coming over. Are we ready? And so she says at home, it's like, yeah, stays ready.
We're good. Yeah.
Whereas in the past, when we were both working 8 to 5, we would still do that, but it would involve us staying up until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, getting the house repaired for when we get off at 5, 5:30, then having students over.
Definitely.
So it all feeds into that purpose piece. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it's cool to see how quickly something happened with you, because we had lunch, you know, in late August.
Yeah.
Or mid-August, and then we had lunch in early September, and you had gone from being not a small player, but just a lower position to now I am the director of, what is it that you're the director of?
Multicultural enrichment.
Enrichment.
And I definitely, I have no clue how that happened. And I'm a firm believer. My dad always would say, if you do things the right way, right things will happen. You know, good things will happen. If you just do things, just go about doing your job, not worrying about this or that, not trying to, you know, seek special attention. If you just go about doing things the right way, right things will happen. And I believe that's a result of this. You know, I wasn't jockeying for position. I wasn't, you know, trying to get over on anyone. I just did my work, let the results speak for themselves. And then I guess some people saw in me that I could, you know, be in this position at the age that I am and at the experience that I am, or the experience that I continually seek to gain.
For sure.
They trusted me with this position, and I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did, I've felt like my age is really shown in my position, because I have gotten thrown into a lot at work. And I think sometimes I've gotten a little too emotional, or like too, I try to think of myself as really mature.
Yeah.
And like, I grew up with an older brother, 7 years older than me, that would let me hang out with his friends and like made me feel so cool back then. And even still, like if I get to hang out with Chris's friends, I feel like I'm awesome. Yeah. And, part of that's just me looking up to my brother, but then part of that is I think I can handle myself.
Yeah.
It's like,
we'd like to think that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then recently, craziest time of my life, just got married, thrown into a new job. And all these things are like, here you go, Michael. You get to solve all these problems at Hardin Simmons.
It's like, but wait, I'm not ready. I'm too young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed the experience so far, but I think I kind of realized I probably have too much of a high view of myself, because there's no way I can get all this done.
Yeah.
And man, there's no way that we're able to... Like, I have really good goals, but I can't expect too much, because I'm not as capable as I might think I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's been good for me to kind of go, well,
take a little step back.
Maybe then. I'm not as awesome as my brother makes me think I am, or whatever else. But it's been fun to see you kind of be on the same path as me. And you're actually younger than me. I thought you were older than me a little bit.
We're in the same boat.
It's so cool to see an opportunity like that present itself to you. Somebody that's striving to do good things in a small community like Abilene.
Yeah, and it just opens the doors for conversations like this. You
definitely.
Know? I think this new role, I definitely can do more things like this, and I can seek to partner with other people and really further some of these ideas.
Yeah.
In any way I can help you, or you know, the next person, I'm definitely down to do that, and especially us who are in the same position, same experience and life, same life situation. Anytime we can get together and say, hey, how can we – I'm looking forward to somebody saying, do you know Michael from Hardin Simmons or wherever you are?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've known him since – been 20 years. We've
2014.
Been
buddies. Exactly, back in the day.
Back in the day. I look forward to those conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and we know Sam's probably going to go places
she'll be way ahead of all of us. Yeah. I'm not even worried about them. They'll be way ahead.
No
yeah.
kidding. Abilene born and raised. Give me some. Well, this is the season where new students are on campus, both places.
Yeah.
Both schools are frantically trying to make sure, get plugged in.
Yeah.
We want you here. We want you to stay here.
Hyper involved.
Keep our attention high, and we want you to do well.
Yeah.
But what are some, if you're talking to new students, what are some recommendations that you give them for Abilene?
Yeah. For Abilene, so we're talking...
What's the, hey, this is what you need to find, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
in Abilene since you live here?
So my thing is, my number one recommendation is learn how to create your own safe fund.
Great.
I say your own safe fund because if you're trying, and I tell students, don't try to. Abilene is a college town because we have several, you know, institutions.
Sure.
But don't come into the mindset that you're going to have the Texas A&M, University of Texas, Texas Tech experience.
You won't.
Because if you have that and you compare it to your friends and who are all off to those big schools, you will be out of here faster than you came.
Why do their football games have 30,000 exactly. people at them and ours have 200?
Exactly. Yeah. So I say the quicker you can get out of that mindset, the easier and the better time you'll have here.
Definitely.
So once you can appreciate ACU for the small Christian college atmosphere that it is, you'll be able to roll right with it.
Right.
That's my first piece of advice.
For sure.
And then my second piece of advice is, if you're looking for that, we're 3 hours away from Dallas. Just go there on the weekend.
Yeah.
You can be there back in one day, and it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But as far as Abilene, outside of restaurants and outside of all that, that initial stuff you need to get out the way, it's just about how to create your own fun.
Yeah.
Abilene is a great place for you to make those lifelong friends because
Definitely.
There will be a lot of those nights where all you have to do is be at somebody's house, be in somebody's dorm, and you're forced to talk and forced to get to know someone. So that's why I'm thankful for Abilene for that, is that you have no choice but to create lifelong friendships or leave.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that is what it is, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that the people, you get to really highlight people mm-hmm. in Abilene. You just said, like, making lifelong friends. But even, like, Jerry Hendricks, the owner of Monk's, I've gotten to meet him and yeah. spend time with him and invest in him.
Yeah.
And him invest in me. And, like, it's been such a, I haven't really put a ton of time into it, but it's one of those things that's just such a nice relationship, a nice guy to just see and talk to because
yeah. –
he's so invested in this town, and he's been that guy that meets more people.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one in 6 years.
Yep.
I'll say, oh, you know Jerry Hendricks?
Like, yeah.
Yes.
I do.
Who doesn't know Jerry yeah. Hendricks? But the same kind of thing, like I've met you now, and I've met pastors at churches and mm-hmm. some other university people and some high school teachers. And
yep.
some. It's a very close-knit town.
Yeah.
And you meet people and you're 2 or 3 degrees away from everybody else you know.
That's right.
It seems like, and I think that's valuable. And yeah. you don't get that.
No.
At bigger
and you
schools.
Don't. I could have, if we were in Dallas, there's no way we could have hooked up like this.
For
know?
Sure.
Because you might live 45 minutes away from me
mm-hmm.
and just the likelihood of this happening. But
right.
the fact that we're here, we get to see each other on a consistent basis, or if we wanted to see each other on a consistent basis, it's not, we don't have to go out of our way and readjust our whole schedules to do that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I remember my freshman year, I went to Baylor for fall break.
Oh, boy.
The first thing that I did, I think that's the first time I left Abilene, because I was in band freshman year.
Okay.
So I didn't have a ton of time to go.
Yeah.
We didn't leave on the weekends. We played at football games.
Yeah.
And so I didn't go home till Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Freshman year, which most people don't say that. Most people go home, you know, as soon as they get a chance.
Yeah, the weekend.
Which is fine.
After.
But, yeah, I didn't go home till Thanksgiving, but over October, like mid-October when we have fall break for a Friday off, I went to Baylor to see some of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a great time. Like, I got to hang out with people. We went to a Baylor game,
okay.
a football game, and
that was RG3 back then, too.
I think it was before him.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It would have been the season before he played.
Right before, yeah.
Like, before he was starting.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently playing.
That's
it was before
right.
they got really
freshman
good,
year.
Too.
Yeah.
Freshman year wasn't, they weren't that great. I mean, they were good, but they weren't like big
what
deal.
They were, yeah.
yeah. But remember enjoying it and like meeting all these people and feeling awesome going to Common Grounds and there's a concert and like,
yeah.
it felt so alive. And that was just Waco.
Yeah.
And so I remember driving back by myself and thinking, did I make the right decision?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm at a school that's a lot smaller than this.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to meet that many friends and our football games aren't that great.
Yeah.
And getting pretty down on myself. And then the end of freshman year, I was involved in 3 things, like, really heavily.
Yeah.
Had met a ton of people.
Yeah.
Even though Hardin-Simmons is only around 2,000 students, like, I had still
wow.
met a ton of
yeah,
people.
Absolutely.
Too many to ever spend enough time with.
Yeah.
And I kind of started realizing, if you're going to school, you're either going to get a school that's super crazy, big numbers, awesome football games.
Uh-huh.
the vibrancy that students want at a college.
Your college experience.
Or the college experience, typical, in quotes. Or you're going to go somewhere where you can get plugged in,
yeah,
and you get to make a difference. Like, absolutely, you have a much better chance at making a difference. And I think that, and even though ACU is a, you know, bigger than we are,
yeah,
both of those schools fall into that category of small town community investment.
Yeah,
I have the ability to make a difference at my campus, yeah, and see the rewards, yeah, of it before, absolutely, I graduate.
Yeah,
and I think that's huge.
Yeah,
And not to say that the vibrancy college experience isn't fun, but yeah, I learned to value what we actually have, and the ability to get to know professors is also huge,
yeah,
for both of us. And
yeah,
I got to know several that have made a huge difference in my life.
Exactly.
You get one or the other, and yeah, so you kind of get to pick. And yeah, obviously, for some people, it's all about like the programs and their career path and that, yeah, kind of thing. But
that's totally fine too. But
yeah, but I definitely don't regret it. And a lot of people show up and start complaining, like, oh, Abilene sucks, yeah, or our football games suck, or what. That's just the most common stuff.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, but don't miss what you actually do have.
Exactly right.
And you get a better experience than a lot of people at A&M do.
Yeah,
because you get to get involved and
exactly, and you
be
can
a president
see your
or something.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
But
yeah,
I think that was a big thing for me freshman year, because I went from fall break thinking, I don't know.
Yeah.
To okay.
Yeah.
This works. Doable.
That's right.
And I feel invested.
Yeah.
I've met people I'm gonna know the rest of my life. And
yeah. And it's yeah, stuff. It's for me. My perspective was, you know, I've born and raised Abilene.
Yeah. It's got to be harder for you.
Yeah. Too. It was, my dad worked here. My mom graduated from here. Me and my sister were 12 months and 29 days apart.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But we're super close. So
yeah,
she was here. I was a senior in high school. She was a freshman in college. So ACU was just that, okay, I'll go choice. You know, it's, I was open to going to big schools, but didn't really care to go and look. I went to A&M and did
yeah,
campus visit and all that, and it was just too much. It was
yeah,
huge. And so just coming to ACU just felt right, and it was a good fit. And so
yeah,
I definitely, going into it, excuse me, going into it, I knew the opportunity for impact just because I've seen it,
mm-hmm,
you know. And ACU is not a bad school.
No,
for
not
me,
at all.
You know, it's not a bad school at all, and we're doing – pretty significant things, I think, in the landscape of Christian higher education. And
well, look at what we're recording a podcast
exactly,
in a podcast studio.
Yeah.
At
yeah,
a college. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it wasn't here 3-4 years ago. It's
yeah,
great. So you can see the progress we're making. But I definitely think, yeah, that message of going back to creating your own normal, you know, your college experience is what you're going to make it.
Sure.
So if you're going to make it wishing you would have went to a big school, we'll drop out and go to a big school, and you'll get that college experience.
Sure.
You know, but since you're here, let's make the most of it. And
yeah,
let's do this and invest all your being into making this a good experience.
You are paying for something good, even
yeah,
though it costs more.
Yeah,
you're paying for something.
Absolutely.
And that's mostly, that's the professor
mm-hmm,
relationships you're getting.
And it's worth it. I think that's
definitely
worth it as well. Yeah.
Do you like the D1 move? You've
yeah,
been all in the thick of it, cause you graduated from here as that was
yeah,
happening, and
yeah, so I graduated
D2 to D1.
Yeah, so I graduated D2, and last year was our first year of D1.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
New logo, new everything. It's great visibility for the school.
Mm-hmm.
I know we got several more students, just because ACU is D1, so I go to a D1 university. I'm all for that. Athletics,
yeah,
I know it's going to take a little while for us to get to that true D1 level as far as,
sure,
you know, game attendance and even the style of players we get. But that comes with time. I understand that. But, yeah, the D1 move, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see, other than trying to adjust and get used to the D1 way and sort of figuring out and finding out those sort of intricacies of what makes a D1 program successful, other than that, I really don't see any negatives
yeah,
to it. Of course, people are going to be resistant to change regardless of what it is, but I think this is great for the university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, what was I going to say? I mean, you might see this school get to a place where you can watch ACU compete in the basketball March Madness tournament. That'd be UNT's made it.
Yeah. Stephen F. Austin won their first. They won their game last year, like their round of 64.
SFA was in?
Yeah, they were. I believe that was.
I didn't pay attention very much.
Yeah, they did, and they made it to the round of 32. It was pretty awesome.
I saw that. This is what I was going to say. I saw that. Well, it's not going to pull up, of course. Harden Simmons has been climbing the ladder in a college university's online list.
Wow.
That's like they do a ranking of schools based off of value and professor to student ratio and stuff.
Okay.
And I saw that I want to find it because I want to make sure I'm saying the right number. Mm-hmm. It's great having this computer here.
Yeah.
.com. This might not be right. Anyway, we were going through the list, and I was looking at like where my brother's school ranked. He went to John Brown University.
Okay.
Where a few of my friends' schools ranked, and we're in the 20s.
Okay.
Harden Simmons is this year, which is big for us because that's a new thing. But ACU made number 10.
Wow.
Which I was like, dang, that's
okay.
That's awesome. Like I know there's a ton going on, especially like with the learning studio and with now the college or the football stadium that's going to get built with some new science building additions and some other stuff. It's great. I think it's great for Abilene.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it's good for Harden Simmons for ACU to do well.
Yeah.
And
it's your right ear.
Yeah. I just like seeing that. I thought that was cool to see y'all at number 10.
That is. Nice. Yeah. I want to say I saw that as well. I can't remember. I can't remember exactly. I know I remember seeing that top 10, though, and people were freaking out on Facebook about that. Like, oh, man, we're up there with the Baylors and all that.
Yeah. Baylor was 5. Mm-hmm. Pepperdine was 4, and the top 3 were schools I hadn't even heard of.
Yeah,
Gordon, College of the Ozarks, the number one, Goshen.
Yeah, the number one was Hard Work U or whatever they pay.
Oh,
that you don't. It's tuition free. You have to work for it though. Yeah, their concepts are definitely a little different. But it works. So.
Yeah,
Hard Work U.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and we actually hit an hour. I looked up a minute ago and I was like, oh, we're at 55 minutes? I thought we were just at like 40.
Yeah.
But
that went by fast.
I know. It's fun. I appreciate your words and your time. I know you've had a long day.
Yeah.
It's good, though. You're still wearing your tie because I went home and had time to change and take a shower.
Yeah,
that's nice.
My goodness. Yeah, I meetings and all that. So I said, let me just stay up here and do some homework.
Yeah.
Until Michael gets
get ahead on that social theory.
Oh, don't even. Oh, man.
Hey, that book, though, the social book.
Yeah. Why Our Brains,
Why We're Wired to Connect or whatever. Yeah,
it's good.
Awesome book.
It's a good book.
Lieberman. I'm going to actually read that all the way through because I think it's super interesting.
It is. And then that Little John book, I wrote it off at the beginning, but it's
actually doesn't look as cool as social does, but it does have good stuff.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Debates and Text. I don't really understand that.
Sure.
But in the Bailey videos, I feel like they're just a summary of what we're going to be talking about.
He does a good job, though, anyway. For just a talking head on a screen.
It's
it's better than it could be.
Yeah. And I'm waiting. We have, 2-3 other books that we haven't even cracked open yet, I think.
Yeah, the red one. Mm-hmm. I can't think of, I didn't bring them.
Yeah.
The red one and then something else. We get to watch An Unfinished Life this week. Yeah,
this week. Yeah. As in, I'm going to try to do it tomorrow. It's a lot of work, but this refresher from Starbucks. Shout out to Starbucks.
Ooh, shout out.
This was good. Sponsored by Starbucks. It was good and it refreshed me.
You seemed a little perked up after a little bit.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
You did get the venti though, so.
I did, so I had a little extra punch there. But definitely, man, this is good.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot for your time and
yeah, definitely.
We'll just go ahead and sign off, I guess.
Okay.